We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The term that I've used is Poles Position.
It's time for Poles Position.
So the number one pick, by the way, for the Bears is secured.
Brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical. There when you need it.
The Chicago Bears are on the clock.
What will Ryan Poles do with the number one pick?
You guys are drafting Caleb Williams number one overall.
We'll see.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yep.
Congratulations. Woo. You did it. Okay, so.
We're counting down the days to the NFL draft.
Well, this Ryan Poles is in the building tonight with the family. Chicago Bears general manager will have the number one pick in Detroit in the upcoming NFL draft. General consensus seems to be it'll be Caleb Williams at number one.
Whoever it is, they're going to have some serious weapons.
He's done his due diligence to bring in more weapons on the offensive end in particular.
I mean, you know, you got a young rookie coming in with all these weapons, veteran players, got a running game, you know, you address their offensive line.
Chicago Bears select.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Yeah, that was during the Bulls game last night. Stacey King not really acknowledging that he had been a huge Fields guy. He was like, it's going to be Fields, it's going to be Fields, it's going to be Fields, it's going to be Fields. And he's like, yeah, Caleb Williams walking into a real good situation.
Yeah, well, there's subtext there. I heard it too. Like, yeah. I'm thinking of it the whole time. I mean, it's one thing to want Fields, it's another say it is going to be.
Yeah.
It is going to be.
Definitely.
That's my opinion. It's definitely going to be. But you heard, like, well, yeah, they're taking care of this guy. I mean, I heard a little of that.
They didn't take care of my guy.
Yeah, didn't take care of my guy, but they're taking care of this guy.
Well, a way to take care of Caleb Williams might be to draft a freak of nature athlete tight end by the name of Brock Bowers.
Woo!
So to discuss that and get inside the mind of what that would look like for Ryan Poles is our next guest, as Poles Position is brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical. There when you need us. He's on the Georgia Bulldogs broadcast team, up close and personal for Brock Bowers' career in college. Jeff Dantzler with us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Jeff, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
Doing great. I'm actually say hello. My Georgia baseball broadcast partner, David Johnston's in the car with me right now. We're driving up to Knoxville, Georgia and Tennessee. You're playing a big Southeastern Conference baseball series. So this timed out perfect, and always love talking draft. And if the Bears get Brock Bowers, they'll get one of the great talents that's ever played at the University of Georgia.
Speaks, you want to ask the play-by-play guy for baseball any questions?
So here's the thing. When the game is – do you look at the monitor for your pitches or are you
– No.
Okay.
No,
all right.
No.
Well, you must have the good fortune to be very close to home plate. That's a bragger.
We're very close to home plate.
Yeah.
We've got a sweet view.
Okay. Right, well, not everybody does, but good for you guys.
Good. No.
The monitor's behind the action. That's right.
Monitors behind the action. All things of
thank you, yes. Thank you, David,
yes.
Johnson.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
That's my main thing. The monitor's a couple of seconds behind the action.
All right. Well, David Johnson, we'll be back to you if you have any thoughts on Brock Bowers. But we'll go back to Jason here.
Yes. Jeff. His name's it's for Jeff. Jason. I'll take it from here.
Hey!
Brock Bowers.
I didn't screw that up as much as you're intimating.
Brock Bowers. I find him to be fascinating, but risky in some way, given the positional value of a tight end for a top 10 pick. How do you think his game translates to the next level?
Incredibly well. And that's where the NFL, it's so interesting to me. And a big reason the same teams tend to draft in the same spots is the perceived value of positions. And we all know with quarterback, left tackle, the pass rusher, the corner, who can cover man for man, the receiver who demands a double teams. But that's why so many times you'll see teams in the back end of the draft who are already good. They can get a top 10 caliber player just because he doesn't play at a position that has a perceived value, whether it's offensive guard, running back, tight end. But for Brock, he's just a great football player. He could literally play split end. If you needed him to play running back, he had a couple running touchdowns. He could play anywhere on the football field. He is, as you said, a freak. He's incredibly fast. He never dropped a pass at Georgia. He is a bull in terms of strength. He's a great route runner, a phenomenal blocker, always demands a double team. The consummate team player, never heard one bad thing about him off the field. And the thing, too, about Brock, he played his best when the chips were down. He played his best in national championship games, SEC championship games against our big rivals, Florida, Auburn, Tech, you name it. When the chips were on the line, when the lights were the brightest, Brock Bowers was at his very best.
All right, good stuff, Jeff. Yeah, this is a guy who did not line up much at tight end as compared to some of the great tight ends of recent draft vintage. Kyle Pitts played 62% of his snaps at tight end. Dalton Kincaid, 64. Sam Laporta, 67. Brock Bowers, 44. Like, so he moved all over the field, as you're saying. We're trying to figure out who would have to cover him. In the NFL, we're used to a safety or a linebacker doing the best they can on a tight end. Doesn't sound like that's really an option for Brock Bowers. Like, you need you need a cornerback or and maybe two of them even.
Yeah, I think the term is there, the bracketed coverage. We had said with Brock, he's too fast for number 50 and too strong for number 23. Just when you look at the numbers, it's how they line up at linebacker and in the secondary. So he is definitely a tough matchup. With his versatility and the ability to line him up at different points on the field, I think he is a guy that just creates the absolute matchup nightmares. I think a spot for Brock that's interesting. And, hey, listen, Kevin Butler does radio shows with us, so I got a soft spot in my heart for Chicago. I love KB.
Butthead.
And so I'm pulling for the Bears to do well. I think he could go 5 to the Chargers. Remember Jim Harbaugh, Georgia beat Michigan in the playoff in 2021, and Brock had a phenomenal game. And I would just think with Harbaugh, they've already got the quarterback there with Herbert, that Brock could be a terrific fit. But if he's there for that Bears second pick, and assuming they're going to take Caleb Williams there, I mean, you're talking about a team that's already really improved at the skill position areas, getting an elite generational type talent.
Who do you comp him to?
Kelce, Kittle, Winslow, I think he can be better. I think he's a more fluid athlete.
Kittle's an interesting one because the toughness to go along with the size, right? Kittle is such a fluid runner. I'll have to look up the specs. But we're talking about Brock's listed at 6'3", 243. That's small for tight ends, frankly. You'd be worried about strength. Does he play stronger and bigger than that?
Yes, he's not small. Trust me on that. The guy, he's tremendous. Just go look through his highlight reels and his film clips. He's a dominating blocker and, again, is just an elite receiver with terrific speed. I don't know, you know, the now we look at more of the GPS-type speeds than the 40 speeds, but he's got up over 23 miles an hour. I mean, he's hit 4.4 before. And I just think with Brock, you're not going to see him as much at that classic tight end type spot.
Right.
I think he's more of a slot type guy.
Yeah, so, you know,
tight end.
If you see the game speed on some of the highlights, like him getting around the corner, and you're like, how the hell did he do that? But he did look small standing next to Gronk in a picture that went viral. That's the thing.
Right.
That's
well,
what happened.
Well, also, we had another tight end that he played with for 2 years named Darnell Washington, who plays for the Steelers, who was 6'7", 275. So those two guys together, that was a tremendous, tremendous combination.
Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, being as close as you are, Jeff Dantzler, to the Bulldogs.
Jason.
It's more of a Jeff. Broadcasting, like, you see the best players in the country, in the SEC. This is obviously a ridiculous receiver class, Neighbors, you know, SEC guy who you would see. I'm just wondering in terms of, like, Because Bowers would be a matchup issue. He'd be a great blocker. Like, he would bring things that a receiver wouldn't. But in terms of pure receiving production compared to some of the great receivers that you've seen, how do you think he stacks up?
I think he stacks up as good as any. If you want to go back to kind of that golden class of receivers from 19 and 20, when LSU had Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson, and Alabama was turning out, God help me, Devontae Smith and Jerry Jeudy and Ruggs and Waddle, that was really a two-year period where they were just the big play burners that were churning out. I think he's comparable to those guys, maybe not the top-end speed, but he's also a player who will go over the middle, take on safeties, take on linebackers. And as you said with the versatility, you guys have got great stats, by the way, about the various places he can line up. I think for a crafty offensive coordinator, Bowers is that ultimate secret weapon. I've always thought tight end was a position. If you were building a football team, said, I need a great team, that's the one position where you could say, well, we don't necessarily have to be great there to win. And you might remember the old run and shoot. Some teams didn't use a tight end. But then on the flip side, that is the position that if you are great there, I think it's the ultimate weapon. And just look at the two teams that were in the Super Bowl with the Chiefs and the Niners with Kelce and Kittle. And I think Bowers, again, if you've got a creative offensive coordinator there, I think teams look at what Kelce and Kittle have done, and they definitely see that with Brock.
Yeah, I mean, most draft folks call him an offensive weapon. They don't necessarily even refer to him as a tight end. And when if you can dictate coverage with a tight end, that is quite a thing to have. We also need a center, Jeff Dantzler. And going into the year, your guy Cedric Van Pran was the number one center in college football, but he comes out of the year looking like maybe a third rounder. Should the Bears take a flyer? What happened to his season?
He had a great year. I don't know what happened with him. I mean, the guy graded out remarkably. You know, started for 3 years, won two national championships. We went 46-2 with him as a starting center. I remember talking to him before the first game of last year, the 2022 season, down at our football complex, and we happened to be right in front of a wall that had all of our academic All-Americans listed. And he asked one of our sports information directors, what do you have to do to be an academic? Well, you got to have a 3.5 and play great. He said, huh, all right, I want to go out and do that. Well, sure enough, you know, he goes out and does that. I mean, the guy is a terrific leader, like Brock. And by the way, like Ladd McConkey, who, if he winds up with the Chiefs, look out, he might lead the league in receiving as a rookie. But those guys, a big reason, it's not a mystery why Georgia's been winning so big, those guys are great players and great students of the game. But back to Cedric specifically, unbelievable leader, makes all the line calls, and he can get out and move. Like if you're talking about maybe doing a double pull situation where you pull that center and you pull that guard, he can flat out do it, and the guy is just a rock in terms of his maturity and leadership. When he took over that starting center role at the end of his freshman year at 2020 due to injury, nobody even thought about moving him from that spot. So, and I know a lot of Falcons fans down in our neck of the woods would love for the Falcons to grab him. That seems like an un-Falcons-like move because it would be smart. But if you could grab that guy, I mean, if he was sitting there in the third round, that would be an unbelievable pick for the Bears. And I definitely think he's worth a second. I think Cedric's that good.
So, wait, you don't like Pitts and Drake London and Bijan now that Kirk Cousins is there with a pretty good defense last year? Not optimistic?
Well, those are skill position guys who are all top 10 picks in the draft, and they tended to not do a good job of getting them the football. So we'll see how the Falcons do. I mean, if they didn't make the playoffs in that wretched division with the easiest schedule, I don't think the future looks too bright for them. But who knows? It is the NFL.
All right, thank you very much, Jeff Dantzler. Enjoy the Georgia baseball game and have David drive safe. And thank you very much for answering our questions.
Mr. We'll Johnston, thanks for bringing us into your car. All right, thank you.
Hey, Jeff's the one driving. We pulled over and we're not violating any any kind of driving laws or anything like that, but I've really enjoyed this conversation. You guys are great. And never forget the great Kevin Butler.
Yes, we love the butthead.
And by the way, the Georgia baseball team has a player who's going to probably be the number one pick in the baseball draft, too, Charlie Condon. I think Cleveland's got the top pick, so just put that in the memory banks as well.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right. This is very informative. Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen.
We learned a lot. Learned about driving laws in the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
Apparently, they're concerned about that.
Pass that along to your student athletes.
why are you doing that? Like,
I mean, I'm sorry.
I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
So how's the drunk driving going there in the football program?
And when I put them on hold to say goodbye, they thought they were still on the air. Like, all right, now go have an old style and a brat for us.
Outstanding.
Perfect.
That's Chicago.
Perfect.
I'll take that. I'll accept that. Can I pivot to a football thing that reminded me of?
Of course. Especially on opening day.
He mentioned Jim Harbaugh and taking a tight end at 5.
Yeah.
And obviously this is an offensive weapon. It'd be a pretty interesting weapon to give Justin Herbert after they removed the two big-bodied wide receivers, of course.
Yes.
But I found this interesting, and Tanny's been saying this for years, what Jim Harbaugh said the other day at the owners' meetings about the importance of offensive line. People thinking they might go Joe Alt. At 5. Here's Jim Harbaugh on the offensive line.
I mean, if I ask you the question of, like, what position group depends on no other position group to be good, but every other position group depends on them to be good, you know, what position group is that? Offensive line. They're not relying on any other position group to be good. They go out and they're good. But yet every other position group relies on the offensive line to be good. And then the D-line, they'll be the ones that argue back. We don't need the offensive line to be good. Do you? Do you like when the offense has a 12-play drive? And, you know, the field position? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. You're right.
So there's this thought that, like, Harbaugh is this wide open offense guy, but no, he's
no.
A run game and offensive line guy. But come on, the thought process there of they can't depend on other position groups to make them better. All the conversations we have trying to break down football and dissect it, well, is this person good because of that? And even the pass rush needs the corners to do their job and blah 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 blah. I thought that was a really interesting point. It obviously guides his mindset through everything he's done in football.
He definitely is a run to set up the pass guy. He's been a great quarterback developer in his time, Harbaugh has. I think the Chargers, that would surprise me a bit because they have Rashawn Slater, and he's excellent, and he's young. Like, so that would surprise me. I don't know what they would do in that spot.
Yeah.
But I think the Chargers are actually a prime trade down spot.
And
I think that because they had to get rid of Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, and they've had to, you know, they're in such a bad cap situation, and some of their star players are older and expensive. Like, they are turning over a roster in some ways. They need to get younger. So I could easily see, hey, okay, quarterbacks go top 4. Who wants Malik Nabers? Who wants Marvin Harrison Jr.? Or if the Cardinals take Marvin Harrison Jr., okay, who wants J.J. McCarthy? Trade up to us. I could see the Chargers being a prime trade down team, still to get a premium player, but to say we need to get multiple cheap players and not just one.
That makes all the sense in the world. I like the Harbaugh thought in terms of adding it to the overall football philosophy conversations we have around these parts sometimes, and it makes me start thinking about the 9 pick as well. Or, you know, I Lord knows I want them to get a center at some point, but a tackle at 9, would I freak out if they got a tackle at 9? I don't think if it's Alt, I wouldn't freak out. If they traded down and got a tackle and took a later wide receiver, I don't think I'd freak out.
So I know you didn't bring the trumpet today, but I think I'm ready to make a declaration about the 9th.
Should have told me, man. I would have brought it.
I know. I'm sorry, but it's really for your declarations. So I'll just state it emphatically.
Wow. You don't want to use the trumpet for your own.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I'm just okay. No, okay. It can be
noted. Noted. Right.
I'm just saying.
Good thing Tanny erased the tape.
I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready to. We'll still do the polls position.
That's all he gets.
There it is. But coming up next, I want to...
Bad entry, right?
I'm ready to make a declaration with what I want Ryan Poles to do with the ninth pick. I want to see if I could persuade you next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Doing it and doing it and doing it.
Afternoons on The Score.
Toothpicks, wow.
9, 9, 9, 9, 9.
Bert Kreischer tickets still to be given away. Craig Counsell to make his first in-season appearance on the show at 5 o'clock. It's excellent that he's going to be on this show every other week.
Bert Kreischer?
Baseball season. No, Craig Counsell, he's going to be on at 5.
My bad.
I changed over there. I don't think that was a syntax issue.
No.
It could have been.
You're my hero for syntax mistakes, but that was not one. I just was listening to the music.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, Tanny just gets me going, man. I start shaking.
That's good.
New Black Keys.
Is that what that is?
A lot of play on XRT. Love
man,
it.
No wonder. It has a great vibe and feel instantly. Might not be the most original songwriters, but, man, they can set a mood and a feel. Hot damn.
I'm glad you're feeling it, man.
Yeah. And not just because it's opening day.
That's what I'm saying. In multiple ways.
I'd be feeling it so much more if you allowed me to play my trumpet.
I'm sorry about that.
For your declaration.
I do not want Ryan Poles to trade down. I don't like this idea anymore of they've got to get the second pick back from the Montez Sweat trade. They need to acquire more picks. We got to use more lottery tickets, more dart throws, that sort of thing.
More young players,
more rookie contracts. You are giving Caleb Williams an incredible situation to walk into. He's an incredible talent. He's got 2 number one wide receivers. He's got a first-round pick right tackle. He's got a very good top 10 under contract in his prime tight end. He's got a good left guard. He's got a good right guard. He's got a serviceable left tackle. Give him a blue chip prospect on offense. If the first 8 picks are offense, then I will put that as my caveat asterisk on if you don't love Turner and you want to trade down.
Dallas Turner, Jared Verse would be the edge rushers. Both fits in this defense.
So that's my out here. If it goes 4 quarterbacks, three receivers, and alt the left tackle.
So I thought you'd be cool with first defensive player available. You're not even cool with that, necessarily.
The asset should go to Caleb. The asset should go to the offense. Hmm. There should be a player for him to grow with. Whether it's protecting his blind side and you're upgrading from Braxton Jones, if Ryan Poles, the former offensive lineman, decides that Joe Alt's the dude to do that, great. I'd prefer the Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase type of thing, and it's either Neighbors, Marvin Harrison Jr., or Romo Odunze.
Okay.
But I don't think the idea of, well, trade down to 15, get the 42nd pick in the draft, and add more and more talent and, you know, build out your depth. find him a star, because we don't know how long Keenan Allen will have in his prime left. We don't know how long he will be a Bear.
I think I'd be shocked if he signs an extension to be here.
I don't know. I he seems to be asking for a lot of money. So would he do that before the season? Would Ryan Poles commit to it? I don't know. But either way, that prime is ending shortly, right? One, two more years, yeah, maybe, just given the position and the dependence on athleticism.
Okay.
So a young offensive thing that helps Caleb Williams, and while I would prefer receiver over tackle, just because of my own biases of football and skill position value, if Ryan Poles says left tackle, or if all three receivers are off the board, fine.
So this was one of my questions.
Joe Alt would be fine.
Yeah, well, how about Olu from Penn State,
so
or Fautanu from Washington? I don't know if I'm okay with the second or third best left tackle when you've got a perfectly serviceable one in Braxton Jones.
So that is where I would need to defer to Ryan Poles. So I don't think that he would do that if one of the four guys that I'm giving you is on the board.
Mm.
So if it goes,
I think if a texture's on it, if Alt is gone and Odunze is gone,
that's what I'm saying. That would be eight straight offensive players drafted.
Right.
That would be four quarterbacks, the three receivers, and Alt.
Uh-huh.
That is a trade down spot.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
But if Alt, no. But wait a minute.
I don't know if this is a full declaration. It's a declaration with caveats. You're welcome to couch your declaration as much as you like, but that's a lot of caveats here. Because I'm still trade down if Odunze is not there, if the wide receivers are not there, I'm still trade down even if Alt is there.
I'm not. I would take best left tackle in the class and upgrade in that spot, and then that's the Lions model, and you've got star tackles on both ends. It's what Mahomes came into.
Mm.
Eric Fisher, former number one overall pick, left tackle. Mitchell Schwartz, all pro right tackle. You know, so it's a pretty damn good situation to put a rookie quarterback in, and both on rookie deals. Your left tackle, right tackle, and quarterback would all be on rookie deals within 1 year of each other.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be pretty special.
Okay. Well, maybe
it is too many caveats for this to reach Parkinson Spiegel Show declaration
levels. I'm glad I didn't bring the trumpet. The only thing that we're different about is Alt. Because if Alt is there, I'd still lean towards a trade down. If Alt is gone, I'm pretty solidly a trade down to acquire another pick or two.
Okay. Bowers would be exciting. I like Brian Thomas more than you do, the kid from LSU with the crazy speed. We disagree on that guy.
Yeah, we do. I think he looks like a Guagi guy who's not a Guagi guy.
But he's pretty big and really fast.
I know, but I'd like my big and fast guys to also be good at catching the ball. He's got trouble with his hands, and he's not a big contested catch guy.
He's a big touchdown guy.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. But and he's good, and maybe he'll have a really good career. But if I want somebody who wins 50-50 balls, because Brian Thomas is the kind of guy who's going to get thrown a lot of 50-50 balls, and I've seen too many of like the Chase Claypool types, the N'Keal Harry types, guys who were drafted high because they look like they should be good at that, and they're actually not. And that's the way that Thomas profiles.
So the question is then, the guy that we had on Poles position featured, Brock Bowers,
mm-hmm,
would he be a dude that you'd consider at nine? Because I'd be a yes. Because to me, that is, like, if Poles thinks that he's George Kittle, yeah, interested. Because that helps your run game and your pass game. It helps both.
Mm.
And people say, well, what about Cole Kmet? And by the way, I don't think they'll do it because they signed Everett.
Well, they might do it because Bowers can play in the slot, and Bowers can line up wide, and Bowers would be a coverage dictating tight end. It would be an alarming weapon to add to this mix. Shane Waldron's probably salivating at that concept.
Yeah, and people are saying if the Bears trade down, there will still be high quality linemen and receivers available. Right, but what do these guys talk about? They talk about blue players, blue chip players, right? That's like their grading system.
And blue letters, yes.
If Odunze is there, draft him. If Neighbors is there, draft him. If Alt is there, draft him. If Harrison Jr. is there, draft him. If you got a blue player to pair with your blue player quarterback mm-hmm. in the same class when you spend a disproportionately high amount of your salary cap on the defensive side of the ball, he deserves that resource to be invested on the offensive side. Now, again, the caveat is if there are no blue offensive players left on your board, then fine, trade down. But if there's a blue offensive player on the board and okay. you take the edge rusher or you trade down to go for volume, that would be the thing that would really disappoint me.
I get it.
That's the thing that I don't think I can possibly sign off on at this point.
We've got time. I want to know. I'd love to know if Poles loves Turner more than Verse or Verse more than Turner. And if, like, you know, look, if they get the first defensive player or you know, either the first or second edge rusher and they're convinced, and I mean, that's a hell of a weapon. That's a hell of a use of that asset to get the first or second edge rusher.
No.
Oh, man.
No, I mean, yes, I mean,
you need a young edge rusher on this team. They need to get one.
I know. It is, and a great defense helps a quarterback. I understand how complimentary it is. It'd be the first defensive player off the board in all likelihood.
Mm-hmm.
In that scenario, you've got a defensive head coach. But how many more premium resources need to be poured in over there?
Yeah.
We don't know if Tevin Jenkins is on the team beyond next year. Don't have a great center. Have an average left tackle. Like a serious upgrade on the offensive line would be fine because you got to do everything you can to support Caleb Williams. And they've done a lot,
mm-hmm.
but you got to do more. If people didn't think they did enough for Justin Fields, I agree with you. I don't think that you can then turn around and say, but hey, the ninth pick, that has to be that can't be offensive side either. Like, I think it can't be.
9 games going on right now in Major League Baseball's opening day. 9 games! 9-9-9-9-9!
Okay.
Right now, do you know homered first today? You know with the first home run in baseball's opening day? Aside from the Korea games, of course.
I don't.
He's a surefire Hall of Famer. No longer considered one of the top 3, 4, even 5 best players in baseball. But he's got maybe this is a year where he bounces back and gets towards the top echelon.
While you're thinking, like, this whole opening day being an actual week ago, and then I've seen videos trickle out of, like, Shohei Ohtani gets warm welcome in front of Angels fans, and it's like 7 people. I'm like, is this a real game? I'm confused.
it all feels weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike Trout homered today. Mike Trout was the first guy to homer today.
Good guess, Danny.
In Major League Baseball.
Thank you.
Nailed that.
Thank you.
Used to be a great player, and maybe he will be
again. I was going to say, Mike Trout's not a great player anymore?
Well, no, he's not considered one of the top 4 or 5 players.
He's a loser. He chose to stay with a losing organization.
Wow.
You know, these guys that choose happiness, man.
Yeah. Well, screw them.
Yeah.
He's a loser.
He should share your aspirations.
Are you saying he's not a top 4 or 5 player because of, like, he's not a top 4 or 5 pick in fantasy?
No, I'm saying he's not a top 4 or 5 player because statistically and in terms of availability and health-wise, he's not that right now.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's not. But he could reclaim it up there. He could retake the universe.
If you had to bet on top 5 wins above replacement or MVP voting, like by the end of this season, and I know there's MVPs in both leagues, so maybe WAR is better. You would
top 5 WAR in the American League.
You'd bet against Trout being top 5.
You can't stay healthy.
Yeah. No. I mean, yeah. That's
matters.
Well, what's our top 5 then? Acuna.
Shohei,
Tatis,
Betts,
but he wants American League. He's willing to go just straight up American League.
Well, I mean either. I'm down for either conversation.
Yeah.
It just feels to me like he still is a top 5 player in baseball.
Lindor
on reputation and age.
Uh-huh.
Juan Soto
over the last 2 years.
Texter says not even top 10.
Over the last 2 years, Mike Trout is not in the top 30 in MLB in WAR. Over the last 2 years.
Hasn't played enough. I wonder what mm-hmm. he is on, like, a per game basis, though. Like, if he's healthy, is he's still that good?
Actually, that's over the last 3 years. So yeah, the health was an issue. Last year alone, Mike Trout not in the top 30. TJ Friedl had a higher WAR than Mike Trout last year.
Tanny, we were just talking about TJ Friedl.
You guys
remember
were, right?
Yesterday? Yeah.
Those
how much we enjoy them.
Those are delicious. Ruben likes the Flamin' Hot Friedls, and I got to say, I've come around on those. I
put them in the chili. It's a nice texture and flavor.
You know, he likes to put them in the mac and cheese. He's a creative creative eater.
A creative eater?
Yeah, he is. Likes to mix stuff up.
What other concoctions does he have?
Are you talking about, like, ways he delivers the food into his mouth?
Yes.
He does that creatively?
Yes. Okay. Like, Daddy, can I have these 2 things? Can I put these together? I'm like, okay, go for it.
What is he, a pregnant woman?
The
no.
A very smart baseball voice was talking about a topic that's probably been argued about on this station since it became a station. It's next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I know it's official that I'm a Cub now and I'm talking to Danny Parkins. You know what I mean?
Afternoons on The Score.
Greg, is this going to be the Cubs' leadoff hitter to start 2024?
Yeah, I mean, Ian will lead off on Thursday. Yeah, he's going to hit at the top of the lineup. And I think, you know, his skill set and kind of the people around him, I think it's a good spot for him. You know, this is a guy that walked, I believe it was 99 times last year.
That's Craig Counsell. He'll be on with us at 5 o'clock today. Then normally it will be earlier in the day on Thursday. Every other week he'll be on the show. But we do have a lineup tonight. Craig Counsell's first regular season lineup for the Cubs against Eovaldi for the Rangers. Ian Happ is leading off in left field. Seiya Suzuki is your two-hitter in right field. Cody Bellinger bats third in center field.
Those are the three we knew. He kind of revealed that in conversation with Sutcliffe. Then it gets interesting immediately.
Christopher Morel is your cleanup hitter at DH. So
well,
after all the talk of Morel at third,
uh-oh.
Opening day, he's your DH with Dansby Swanson at short batting fifth, Michael Bush at your six hitter at first, Nico Horner, seven at second, Nick Madrigal is your third baseman, and Yan Gomes is your catcher.
All right, so a couple things. Yan Gomes only hit ninth 22 times last year. That caught my eye right away, so not a very common spot. But Nady Eovaldi, the big righty with lots and lots of heat, a very good power righty. So Gomes down there at nine. And Madrigal, I guess, is, you know, thought of as more of a contact guy to give you an option there against Eovaldi. Nico down at seven against most righties. That won't surprise me too much. Morel fourth because he hits the ball hard and he hits the ball over the fence. Swinging at strikes and not balls, a little bit of a struggle. But fourth best hitter in the mind of Craig Counsell, even against a power righty, is Christopher Morel.
Gotta say, Madrigal as an opening day third baseman doesn't feel great.
No, it doesn't.
It would feel better if Morel was a good third baseman and you had a great DH.
Well,
like that would make the lineup feel a lot better. But that is, I mean, he is your eight hitter. That is looking for the negative. The top seven, Happ, Seiya, Bellinger, Morel, Swanson, Bush, Nico, you feel pretty good about all of those guys. Obviously, Bush has to prove it. You feel good about all of those guys.
I'm surprised it's not Mastroboni at third base since he's a lefty and I think as good or better a defender than Madrigal. Madrigal's defense did step up. It feels a little ceremonial. It feels like, you know, Nick, you deserve an opening day start, which is not something you'd suspect of Craig, but it's I look forward to hearing what he says about it because I'm surprised it's not Mastroboni. There is no other really. You could have Talkman DH and have Morel at third base. So you could have Talkman or Mastroboni as a DH.
Well, this is a better defensive lineup.
Yes, it's a better defensive lineup than having Morel at third base.
Yeah, so, I mean, after all of that talk, and we'll ask Craig about playing Morel at third and how much of a leash he's going to have out there. But, yeah, today he is your designated hitter.
Very little conversation of consequence about Madrigal all spring because he was hurt. And,
right.
And most of the time you thought he was going to start the year on the injured list up until like 4 days ago. They're like, oh, I guess he's back. And a lot of people had been like, oh, it's good that he will start on the injured list. I can see everybody else because a lot of people don't like to see Madrigal. But, I mean, Nick is he's definitely turned into a decent defensive third baseman. And I'd have to look at the matchups against Eovaldi and see if that is a thought as well.
Well, we came in wanted to talk about the leadoff hitter, and then the lineup dropped. Ian Happ had a very interesting perspective when he was talking with Dan and Lawrence about basically how he approaches being at the top.
Yeah, it's definitely different just because of how frequently you're coming up. It's different because you are you are getting the first look at that pitcher and balancing. You know, how much are you swinging at the first pitch of the game? How much are you trying to work deep into counts? You know, for me, in my experience doing it, you have to just have your normal at bat, and my normal at bat lends itself to that position. And so it's not changing who I am or what I do. It's continuing to do the things that I'm good at and letting that play in that spot. You know, some of the things that you do have to get used to, you know, for me not doing it for the last few years is at home, making sure that like you are that first, you're taking that first at bat in the bottom of the first, it's getting in from left field. It's having your stuff ready to go. So you're, that you're not rushed, especially I've never done it with the pitch clock. Mm. You know? And so like, that's an adjustment of, hey, your elbow card and your batting gloves and like your bat, make sure there's enough pine tar on it so that you're not like, those seconds are valuable. And so if you're taking an extra 10 seconds to do something, that's taking you away from seeing the pitcher, getting your swings in on deck, like feeling really prepared. And so it's a balance of all of that stuff. And you are hitting, you know, instead of in the three hole, you know, you're going to hit in the first, you're probably going to hit in the third or the fourth. You know, if you're, when you're leading off, it's, you're hitting in the first, you're hitting in the third, you're hitting in the fifth, you know, and if you guys are rolling, you know, you're hitting in the first, the second, the fourth, the sixth, like it's, it comes up, you're always having your stuff on, you're always having your batting gloves on and ready to hit. And you're not, you don't get that, you know, first or second inning to kind of relax into the game. So it's from a mental standpoint, you know, getting used to all that stuff, embracing that, understanding that it is going to be a little bit different, and that's okay.
See, that I love hearing Hap talk about it because he's the right guy for it, and this is what it sounds like when process is good, and you're like, oh yeah, I just have to be myself in that role. Okay, good. So you know, he doesn't have to change anything.
Well, right, that's the thing. It's different than some of the other guys we've seen be unconventional leadoff hitters for the Cubs. Hap's a pretty conventional leadoff hitter.
Yes, he's sacrificed power for contact.
He sacrificed power for contact. He takes pitches.
Takes a lot of walks. 99 walks is a very good number in the National League.
Good runner. Mm-hmm. One of the better all-around athletes on the team. One of the faster guys on the team. Like he's a pretty conventional, old-school leadoff hitter. So I do think it makes some sense. And he does have the ability when he's right to, you know, start off the game with, oh, first pitch fastball, hit it over the wall. He won't do it often, but it'll happen occasionally.
A couple of thoughts on the lineup as I was looking it up, as we were listening to Ian Happ. Justin Steele gives up a lot of ground balls, 51% and 40% to the pull side. So, you know, a lot of ground balls towards the third baseman.
But so does the whole pitching staff.
Yeah, they pitch to contact.
So that's why the Morel thing was a little surprising second it happened.
But here's the other part. Madrigal is good against velocity. He's a contact guy against velocity, and a lot of velocity with the Eovaldi, as I mentioned. So then the thought process becomes, if you've got Madrigal and Morel in your lineup, if that's what you're going to do, you know, then you might as well let Madrigal play third base. It comes down to Madrigal versus Talkman or Mastroboni against Eovaldi. You know, and if you're looking at that and it's a wash, I guess you choose the better defense. But what I love is that it's baseball and the highest paid manager, who is incredibly heralded, that everybody's excited to watch, including me and a lot of people, is already getting crap talked on the text line big time.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What is he doing?
Oh, Craig Ross or David Counsell.
Uh-huh. Counsell's a good get, but ask the manager why the F he's playing Madrigal. WTF. Madrigal at third. What a joke. There we go. So, game on. Baseball
season. Just a little
tip. Game on. It's baseball season.
All right.
All managers suck. Ours just sucks a little bit less, I once heard.
It's an epic line. There is an unfortunate... Well, maybe that's not the best way to phrase it. There is a reality that a lot of Cubs fans are not going to enjoy hearing next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.